Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 30th, 364th day of the new year. Almost done.
Almost.
Joining us.
We started all over again.
Yeah, that's right. But then I can count real easy. One, two, three.
I hope you've only got one to go. It's not too hard for you, too.
No, this is an easy one. His name, however, is difficult. Jawaharlal, it's Nehru. I just have a tough time always with the first names. A leader or a man of action in crisis is almost always acts subconsciously and thinks of the reasons for his action. How cool is that, huh?
It's cool. I just would add that a person, you know, it's not always.
This was in the 50s and 60s.
I know,
Don't worry about it. This is a leader.
I'd be remiss.
Well, okay. If you say woman of action, what does that imply?
I would say a leader or a person of action.
Someone of action?
Someone.
Yeah. Yeesh.
It's going to be
You're not going to be rotating into the gavel this year, are you?
I'll be the vice gavel holder.
It's Mark?
It is Mark.
And okay.
We were joking with him at the last meeting. He made his final motion because the chair can't make motions. So we all kind of had a good chuckle about that.
You can
that.
Squiggle, you can't move.
That's right. We figure Estelle's going to be really excited to make her first motion in a year. So
yeah.
It's kind of fun, the dynamics of what happens when you're in the chair position.
Playing the game. Was 2015 a good year?
2015? Or
yeah.
When you say 2015, obviously with all the marijuana
discussion. Oh, no.
My brain goes, are we starting off with that?
No references to marijuana, no.
Yeah, I think it was a good year. I mean, it all depends what perspective you're looking at. If you're talking county, it's been a very busy year. A lot of different legislation, a lot of changes. The transition in department heads is obviously continuing on into the start of 2016. So there's always been something going on. General plan, you know, scheduled to wrap up after Christmas. I probably shouldn't even be saying wrapping anything. You know, it's the best word I can think of. Hopefully.
Coming to a resolution, yeah.
Coming to resolution. Oh, for New Year's. That's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, New Year's resolution.
I don't have to feed you every line, I hope.
It's been a long year.
A productive year?
I think it was a productive year. Whether it was the transitioning of the MAC Center that I know not everybody maybe agrees with the direction that it went. Having followed that through the last year and seeing that there are people that are going in, that are getting housed, that are being employed, that are, you know, making changes in their lives. I think that's good. I think that was a good change. I think moving through the general plan as we have, as tedious and time-consuming at the point we're at now, it does feel like it's been productive, obviously.
And now it's back at the Planning Commission, right? Or is it at the staff level?
Well, it's I believe it's coming back to us in mid-January. It's at the staff. We'd made our changes, and now it's going to the Planning Commission.
To get their sign off.
It's to sign off. But we know that our Planning Commission they're very thorough, and so it might take a little more time, but we're very hopeful that coming from the board saying this is what we've done after all these years and we want to do that, it'll move fairly quickly through that process. How'd that sound?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you look at what's ahead, you know, I think a lot of times this week is looked as the rearview mirror rather than what's ahead. I would think that there's a number of things that are out there that are getting your attention or said my way should be getting your attention. You know, we've got the weather. It looks like we've got a normal winter weather. Okay, so Public Works is not going to be able to bob and weave around the fact that they don't have enough money now. And there will be culverts blowing out. There will be emergencies. There will be repairs that have to happen.
But you know that money, you're saying they can't be complaining. That money doesn't materialize. A lot of it, if it's, are you talking about?
Just that it's not going to be a dry winter this year, so Tom and his folks are going to have things to do.
Oh, no, they'll have lots
as the
to do.
Supervisors.
They just may not have enough money to cover all the damages.
But isn't that why we have contingencies?
We have contingencies, but also with the you know, storms and different weather events and other types of events, you often are able to qualify for funding from federal sources and state forces.
The FEMA stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't come immediately to the community, which is a problem because many times you need to fix something quickly. But Public Works reacts well. The problem is, with so much more rain than we've had recently in recent years, you don't know when something, you know, how many places things could go wrong at one time because you haven't been really tested by really wet weather for a while. But at the same time, we're really fortunate. We've been saying we need rain, and the way the rain's been coming, we've been getting breaks. So in that time, I think, you know, staff can go out and assess a situation and hopefully keep, you know, the worst of damages from happening. So
yeah, we cross our fingers, hope.
Well,
but how much contingency dollars are there?
I, you know, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, and you want me to guess how much? No, I don't know.
Well, it's halfway in the fiscal year, so
You know, we never have enough. How's that?
Is it enough to match the grants and those types of things that are out there in emergency if you guys do have to declare and the governor agrees to it and it gets thrown to the feds? Is there enough to do the matching part for those issues?
I would say it depends on the magnitude of the disaster. What, you know, what if you have full roads go out? I mean, that's a whole different thing than culverts. And you know, my favorite thought is, remember that January when we had the earthquake, or December's where we've had earthquakes or bad weather? What else can we have that gets tossed on top of, you know? Not that I'm asking for multiple bad things at one time, but I tend to look that way.
Haven't had the locusts come through yet.
No. There's, you know. But
they'd be having probably do the backstroke to make it through.
Yeah, they wouldn't be getting very far very fast.
Right. So we've got some of the traditional stuff that's there, but you've also got what seems to feel as if it's an extraordinary period with a number of appointed department head positions available all at the same time. And I know in the past we've talked about institutional knowledge, but if the leader doesn't have knowledge, then there's those inefficiencies that are built in. Is there a built-in bias either for or against pulling somebody up through the department or somebody who's local rather than getting somebody from outside the department or outside the area to fill department head appointed positions?
I don't think there's a built-in bias. I think on the one hand, people do want to have someone from Humboldt County, from our community that knows about us. At the same time, I find it really instructive to look at people from other places because they have new ideas that they can bring in. So I think what you got to look at is, you know, what is the balance? You want enough institutional knowledge to be there, but you also want to be able to kind of break any bad habits, do things better. We're always striving to do things better, and sometimes it takes someone from the outside to take a look. We've got three great interims in place right now that are all local and from within our
the area
from our departments that have that knowledge, and they have expertise and they have ideas. You know, I've been really impressed. You know, and I'll point to, you know, Connie Beck over at Health and Human Services. She has stepped up to the plate. You know, the first time I met with her, she's like, we need to keep working on this, the action items that came out of the study that we brought the consultants in. Wonderful ideas, energy, and, you know, not sitting around to wait for the full-time person to be appointed. And those are the types of people we do have right now in interim. They're local, they're community, they've been here, they have buy-in. Maybe they don't want the position in the long run, but they know that there's a way that we need to keep the community moving forward while we're waiting to bring new people on board.
Well, I know that's part of the challenge that is always out there, you know, that balancing act. And I would think you would want to have a solid mix of locals and of folks from out of the area that, you know, they don't have a position already driven and they're willing to blow it up if it needs to be blown up.
Well, yes, there's that. And, you know, sometimes the outside perspective is just refreshing. Our county council, Jeff Blank, came from the Nevada area, or Nevada. And he and his family have been, you know, just a wonderful fit for our community. But he's also pulled together that department where there was a lot of friction. And it's not necessarily because he knows to do, you know, that he knows better, but he brought with him the talents of bringing people together, having them start moving in the same direction. And that was, I think, a needed change for our department at that time. So you're never going to get everything in one person. You're going to have to do the best to get the most of what you want.
I think it's called prioritization.
That could work.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a concept. Perhaps we ought to be introducing it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. I've survived the break. Virginia's
I'm hanging
here.
In.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the year to be over now, just since I've been here today.
Yeah, hit the weekend break. Oh, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Virginia, as you're looking at some of those lingering challenges, you mentioned the general plan. Well, I mean, you know, we could say decades long if that feels
lingering
easier.
Lingering works. It's kind of like okay. A, you know, illness. It's,
yeah.
It's lingering.
Yeah. He lingered until he died. Oh, boy. And the alcohol hasn't started yet. This is just all normal stuff.
Be, you know, increasing people's consumption.
Yeah,
well,
they're
thinking ahead now.
Yeah, whatever it takes. There are certain problems that seem to be baked into what we look at over the last 25 years. Homeless is one, inebriation, drunkenness, drug use, whatever you want to call that whole drug culture thing. Roads, we kind of touched on that a little bit earlier on.
Mental health challenges.
Yeah.
I mean,
the airport.
The airport, yes.
There have been attempts to remodel it, to rename it, to make it pretty, to do this, to do that, but it's still the county airport and it's still kind of proving to be problematic. Do you have hopes that 16 is going to be a better year for not only the main airport, but for the entire district, the airport
for
district?
All, yeah. We've got some good things on the table for needed improvement. So it's going to take some time. At the main airport, we've got the restaurant that needs a lot of work. In fact, it needs more work than we anticipated. Getting that up and running, getting a tenant, that's very important. Getting someone in the gift shop area. So that's part of it. Maintenance is always an issue on, you know, whether it's you don't have enough staff to take care of the frayed carpet or whatever. And then when you expand it to the other facilities and other airports, you've got runway issues and you do have challenges. But we've got money on the table and there's a lot of plans on the way. I'd love to tell you how quickly that would all be fixed. Well, it's not all going to be fixed. Let's just say this year or next year, I guess I should say. But, you know, we're starting and that's the first step. You know, on the positive, you know, people talk about, you know, the flights and we actually keep increasing the capacity of the seats that go out of here on a regular basis. And in January, there's actually over 8,200 seats, so slightly over 8,000 seats leaving Arcata, scheduled to leave Arcata in January. And compared to last year, that's 3,000 more seats. So we're able, you know, the airlines are seeing that we have the numbers here to support more capacity. And so that's a good thing when we're actually using the airports more.
I would think if United is expanding by 3,000, what's that, about 35%, 40%?
Sounds
in that neighborhood.
Right.
At some point, they're going to expand enough to maintain the monopoly, because there's not enough for somebody else to be able to come in and take advantage of. Or
no.
Will they pull planes out as quickly as they've been adding if somebody else comes in? Because you still only have X number of bodies who would be potential for flying out of the airport. And just because capacity, let's say there's 100,000 spots, we're all not going to start flying all of a sudden just because there's empty seats there at the airport.
Well, I think the capacity, what's interesting is, you know, if we are fortunate to bring on another destination, you know, we've been working hard, we keep working hard on that, it changes the dynamics because you'll not necessarily have to fly through SFO. You could be flying through a different destination, as yet to be unnamed, but in the past, say it was LAX, which we know there's a built-in market that wants to go to LAX, or maybe someone, they want to go through Phoenix, or you
so
can
you
just
think
name
there'd be a way to expand the pie?
Well, there's a way, I think, there's a way to expand the pie, but you're going to be shifting the I don't know, the sizes of pie. If people don't have to go through San Francisco, you know, I would suspect that, you know, United and SkyWest might look back and go, well, gosh, we've got more people that are connecting through LA. But at the same time, they do work with the other carriers because they know that if someone can't fly out of here because of weather in San Francisco, if they're able to work with another carrier and give the person who's flying an option to still get where they want to go, even
consumer.
If it's not on them.
Consumer.
There you
That's
go.
That's the word, consumer.
But it, you know, so it gives an opportunity for them to have, instead of having someone who's frustrated because they can't get to where they need to go, they can actually help them by working with, you know, the other airlines that may be serving a community. So I think that remains to be seen. I think also moving to the 76-seater jets, you know, that's what the industry seems to be moving towards. And
wasn't that the reason for the expansion of the runways?
I'm sure that was back, you know, and there's like Del Norte still doesn't have theirs expanded yet, though they are working on it. But yeah, the runways had to go to, I believe, 6,000 square feet. That's important if you're landing.
Yeah, I thought that was the last major hurdle. But that was,
there's always,
that was a while
there's always
ago.
Going
yeah,
to be a new yeah. major hurdle.
Yeah, KINS News and Information Times 841. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, you had allowed in the intro that 2016 might be seen as the year of transition. Now, you've got staff transitions, you've got legislative transitions, you've got voting transitions, and then we've got the looming marijuana determination as a transition also. So that's a fair word to use for this.
Well, thank you.
How are you going, or how is this county looking at reducing the risk associated with these transitions and the changes that accompany it?
Well, that's quite the question to end the year on.
It might be
Brian.
My last question.
Multiple. When you're talking, you know, marijuana, I think limiting the risk, part of that's going to be the risk of lawsuits, which we know they're going to be out there anyway. So doing the best we can to, you know, see what other communities have done and lessen that is an important thing to do for lessening risk. Risk of overburdening staff, I think, is something we really have to look carefully at in regards to the marijuana. You know, if too many things fall on the agricultural department or code enforcement, we've got one person, you know, for each of those, or I have two in code enforcement now. We can't promise so much that the staff can't do, and there's no money yet to exist, you know, to hire more staff. You know, making sure there's enough money helps lessen the risk. We could, you know, go on.
Well,
and
now
on.
You got overage on Measure Z. Is there any thought that code enforcement is part of protection or public safety?
I think there certainly is. Measure Z will be revisited, you know, periodically during the year, and we've already started talking about where there's money that hasn't been spent also, to start reprioritizing where that should go. And, you know, in many ways, public safety, as you've seen, you know, has many different definitions to different people. You know, it could be.
Are you trying to build in flexibility here or not?
Well, we've so far been pretty flexible, but we also want to stay with the intent of what the voters said.
Is code enforcement, from your definition, part of public safety?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the guys pulling the water out of the river illegally without permit would be part of that, certainly. Land use would be part of that also.
So I might
give you something you can start shaping around.
Well, in some ways, you know, when you see, it's just like having a neighbor in your neighborhood that has trash around the house, has, you know, junk everywhere. That can be deemed public safety. It's like, you know, you don't want your house to go up in flames because somebody has some disastrous mess next to you that, you know, is going to cause a problem, or rats or whatever. I mean, you could really expand the definition of
pretty much safety Wherever you wanted to go, but I suppose the true definition will be at the ballot box.
Well,
if you stretch too far, if you
exactly
don't stretch far enough, there's that. And you still have, you got your citizens, it's not an advisory committee, but it's a, what is it? It's not a support group, but what do you guys call
I love
it?
That word, support. I would call it an advisory
okay
committee. I mean, that's what they do. They make suggestions, and you know, we can take those suggestions and move things around a bit, but we're definitely keeping them on board for their input as we go through this 5-year process. And you're
you
right.
You like support group, though, huh?
I thought that was an interesting word to use for it.
You know, it's you could argue it. You could argue it. Okay.
Actually, it's
so
like
what are your plans for the weekend?
I'm doing nothing.
Good.
I'm usually at the parade, the Pasadena.
And you're not answering phones, and you're not answering emails. You're absolutely doing shutdown nothing.
No, maybe not that. I'm probably putting away the old year, getting ready to start with the new year, taking care of all those old emails that didn't get done, and doing. I want to start the year unencumbered, and I've got one day left to, you know, take care of all that outstanding detritus.
Good, good. Well, you know, outstanding is the word for 2015, right?
Parts of it.
Yeah.
Pretty outstanding.
Outstanding in the field. Yeah. Okay, fine. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks. Have a good New Year's.
Happy New Year. Yes. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.